Lift up your eyes and look around. And boy, if there is ever words that were necessary for us today, that's the way. Because if you go into any mall, you walk down any street, you go through any hallways of any school, everybody's looking down at their phones. They are. I'm among them too. I ran over my phone this morning. I went into crisis, you know. And that's true, isn't it? Because we use them for everything. We use them to tap in to what we believe is the wisdom of the whole world, the wisdom of the web, the wisdom of the whole world. Because we believe, I think, by our actions, that naturally if you can tap into that, then you'll be wise. That's not true. You might have a lot of knowledge, but I even wonder about that. You have an immense amount of information. That's certainly true, an immense amount of information. But we all know that that flood of information, that tsunami, is not necessarily wisdom at all. When you were confirmed, you received the gifts of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge because it takes work to know God. It really does. People would like to just sort of, you know, cruise along the river and float downstream. As Fulton Sheen said so famously generations ago, he said, "Don't just go with the flow. Only logs and corpses go with the flow." You know, that's not what we're about. We're called to seek knowledge, that's true, but we're also called to seek wisdom. And wisdom is something that only comes from reflection. Now, the people who came, these wise men who came to the manger, they were to represent all of humanity, all of the Gentiles, all those who weren't Jews. And all of humanity are looking. They're looking. But what are we looking for? If you think of the people in your life who seem to be indifferent to God, who seem to be sort of just saying, "Oh, well, you can't know what to believe. There's no such thing as objective truth." Everybody's still looking. And they're looking for that certainty, which is the meaning of life, that ultimate meaning of our existence. They may not express it that way. They may not want to be able to perhaps be so dramatic, but that's what everyone is looking for. You can be, you know, dashing off here and there all you want, but we're still looking for that truth. All of humanity. Back hundreds of years before this incident, before Jesus was born, a strange thing happened throughout all of the known world. Spontaneously, it seems, in various cultures that had no connection to one another at all, people started to leave aside the old gods. With the Greeks and the Greek philosophers, especially with Heraclitus, he started to be able to come to say, there aren't gods in some tree, in some stream or whatever. There aren't spirits, there aren't this and that there. There must be one God, one source of truth, one source of truth, beauty, and love. And whether it was Gautama Buddha who said, this can't be right that there's all these contending gods, or Zoroaster and what we now consider to be India, spontaneously people started to look for the one source of truth. It's not surprising then that the Jews themselves had that. The Jews had always struggled with it. They fell back and forth in and out of paganism and other gods. We see that all throughout the whole history of Judaism until right about the same time. And they came back from the Babylonian captivity and they'd been purified by that horrendous struggle to keep their faith. And they had from that time on the faith in the one true God. And they were being drawn to it. Drawn to it in some by natural philosophy, as we hear, but in others, as we heard in the second reading, by revelation. It is St. Peter who, when he proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And therefore, what has been revealed to you has not been revealed by humankind, but by God himself." And that's an important thing to remember. Revelation. That revelation is the very gift of God. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That great wisdom to say, it is not as if we are to leave aside the wisdom of the world. We're not called to not be people that are not knowledgeable, etc. Seek truth and seek as much of the truth in the world as you can find. But then recognize that when our hearts and our minds are open to the action of God, we can then be able to see this great revelation, which is the true gift of God himself. And we seek a new Jerusalem. A Jerusalem whose walls will not be stones and bricks as wonderfully and as artistically designed as this very church. But we seek a Jerusalem where the foundations will be the very apostles themselves with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. This is the promise that we have. And that light that leads us on, That light is Jesus Christ himself. Look behind me on that wall, and you can see those stars that are there. Those stars, Christ, the morning star, which never sets as we hear in the vigil. Christ, that star that leads us on. And that certainty is there for us so that we can know that we may be in darkness at times, but we are never without the certainty and the light of Christ. If you look around in this church and you see those medallions all the way around here, they're right at your own height, right there, so that you can actually see them when you're sitting. And you can see them, and what are they? They're the images of the passion of Christ and the sorrows of Mary. All of you know passions, and all of you know sorrows. Every single one of us, me included, bring our sorrows and our passions, our difficulties, our struggles, and our problems. And we pour into the door here, sometimes burdened down. But at every single Mass, regardless whether it's done with choirs or whether it's done quietly, the words of the priests are to resonate in our own hearts. And when it comes to that point where we say, lift up your hearts, what do people reply? We lift them up to the Lord. Not because it's necessarily so easy, that's not it, but because it is necessary. It's necessary to lift them up because in and of ourselves, natural wisdom, natural truth will only take you so far. You know, when people say in that rather time-worn phrase, one thing sure is life gets longer. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. That's not necessarily true, is it? That's not true at all. One strength, it comes to an end. But in Jesus Christ, it does not come to an end. In Jesus Christ, our strength is such that it is eternal. That's the certainty we have. And it is not just a distant hope. We have it through that great chorus of witnesses, that great chorus of people who assist us with the saints, and primary among them is the Blessed Virgin herself. You may not have noticed it so often, but we priests that sit here, we often look up at that mural up here. That's the mural where Mary is bringing forth the Christ child and holding out the Christ child to the world, as she does in that window, or as she does right here over top of the altar. Because that's her purpose and her point in life, is to bring forth Christ, to present Christ, to be that epiphania, the showing forth of the Christ. And that's something that she does for us in such a way that we can recognize that regardless of what it is we struggle with, there's the certainty of the support, the presence, and the greatness and grace of Jesus Christ himself. You'd almost need binoculars to look up that mural. But she's holding in her hand a rosary in the same way that she's holding that in her hand while giving to St. Dominic in this window. And she's saying by it that this is your strength. This is the great prayer that you have, the great prayer that we have that unites us with God himself. This great prayer that we see in its culmination in the Eucharist that we're celebrating in a few minutes. And it may be that we have our difficulties. Those angels are bringing the symbols of the mystery of the rosary. And the one angel is bringing the crown of thorns, but the other is bringing the crown of glory, and the great joy is represented by flowers. One for sorrow, but two for joy. And we're called to remember that as well. We're called to remember that in the midst of sorrows, that we will be able to know the joys of Christ, that we will be able to know the glories of Christ. If we can open our hearts and our minds and our eyes of our souls to the wisdom and the certainty, the power and the presence of Jesus Christ, that's what we hold fast to. That's what we celebrate, this feast of the Epiphany. And that is what we bring out to the world. You may not have all the articulate words to be able to roll them out. It doesn't matter what kind of education you've got. Everyone has the education of the experience of Jesus Christ alive and present and real in their lives. And this is what we bring forth to the world. This is how we are the light of Christ. And if we need to know anything else, we need to be able to hold fast to God himself so that he can constantly renew us, constantly give us the words, constantly be able to say, you are truly to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, so that my word can be able to go out to the corners of the world. Lastly, I'd like to say thank you. This is my last Mass, my Sunday Mass here at St. Mary's. It's been a very interesting 9 years, 8.5, 9 years. I certainly didn't expect to come to St. Mary's. I remember when the bishop told me I was coming here, I was sort of stunned, I've got to admit. And he told me, he said, I want you to go to St. Mary's, and I thought I misheard him. But I've been very glad that he sent me here, because if we are thinking about what we build, it is not just beautiful buildings, as necessary as they are and as uplifting as they are, but we build that certainty of the community of Jesus Christ, the very body of Jesus Christ, which, as St. Peter said, is built up by living stones. And in the midst of this work, it has been that certainty that we build up the community of Christ that has been uplifting for me as well. So I'd like to thank you for your support and your prayers, your collaboration, a lot of your patience, and also your faith as well. And I will assure you that my prayers will also be here, and this parish will certainly have a piece of my heart from this time forward.